Thanks so much for joining us again for the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman. We'll be completing our wonderful story of God's love story this morning as we look at the last chapter in the book of Ruth. We've just seen how the Lord is teaching Ruth some wonderful lessons. She went from a time of sorrow, of losing her husband in Ruth chapter 1, to chapter 2 of learning what it means to just begin to live by faith. And what an awesome testimony she has of learning to just live by faith and be able to trust God for whatever He has for her, and going into the field of Boaz and just trying to earn what she possibly could. And then she recognizes that Boaz is a kinsman redeemer. Boaz is a person who is of the family that she married into, Elimelech's relative. And so she begins to learn the customs that it is then someone's responsibility to marry a widow. And she, of course, has become a widow. And so her mother-in-law, Naomi, says in chapter 3, let's just present you to Boaz. He's treated you with such kindness and love and concern. He's protected you. He's provided for you. Let's see if he will do his kinsman redeemer responsibilities. And all throughout the story, we have seen some tremendous lessons of Christ's love for us. You see, the Bible says that God loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And yes, God loves you, my precious friend. And we've been talking throughout the entire study how that this is a beautiful picture of God's care for us as his bride when we trust him as our personal Savior. So in chapter 3, she presented herself to Boaz and simply let him know that she would be willing to be his wife if he wanted to be the kinsman redeemer. He was surprised. He was just really amazed that she was even interested in him. And so we come to chapter 4. And she has learned at the end of chapter 3 that Boaz is not the closest kinsman redeemer. He has to then go to the closest one and say, here is Ruth. She has offered herself to be the wife of a kinsman redeemer. Do you want to take her? And at first the man said yes. But then he began to realize, oh, that's going to mess up my inheritance and children and everything else. And so he then said, no, I can't take her. Chapter 4 and verse 1, then went Boaz up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, ho, such a one, turn aside and sit down. And he turned aside and they sat down. And so 10 men of the elders of the city were called, and they listened to the discussion. They heard how it was being offered to this young man for him to become the husband of Ruth. But he said, no, I can't do that. And so as a result of that, Boaz then said, I will take her. And so he became the kinsman redeemer. Now, the word redemption means to pay the price. In other words, willing and able to redeem. And that's what Boaz was. He was willing and able to redeem, to pay the price, to buy back all of the property that had been lost when Elimelech and Naomi left the area, left Bethlehem, Judah, and went down to live in Moab for a number of years. And so the price had to be paid. And Boaz was well able and definitely willing. You know, it's kind of like our redemption in Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one who was able to pay for your sins and my sins. That's because he was the only one that was perfect, that didn't have sins of his own that needed to be paid for. And what an awesome story that is. Yes, Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. Now, a kinsman was to, first of all, purchase back the property that had been previously sold. And then secondly, to provide room and board for Naomi. And then thirdly, he would marry Ruth and raise up children that would join his own children in his inheritance. And so when the other man said he could not do that, then Boaz took off his shoe in the purchase of Elimelech's land. For men took legal possession of landed property by planting their foot or their shoe on the property. And so that was the way of showing that he was willing to buy back the property that had to stay in the family. And if Naomi and Ruth were now back from Moab, it now needed to go back to them. And so in the first 10 verses, we see all these conversations taking place. Then in verses 11 and 12, we see that God just simply stepped in and gave Ruth a new husband. What a sweet story this is. And the Bible goes on to say in verse 13, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name might be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him." Speaking now of this new baby. "And Naomi took the child, and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David." Yes, this is David, the king. And so what a sweet story this is. Ruth becomes a bride. And once a marriage takes place, then there are public prayers for God's blessings, and that means they begin to pray for children. What a neat thing this is. God gives Boaz and Ruth a little baby. And what a neat story this is as well, because we begin to understand that this baby, whom was named Obed, was the grandfather of David, who became King David. And of course, yes, in the line of our Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see how God was just graciously showing his love and his mercy to Ruth by putting her into the line of Christ, by giving her unconditional favor and acceptance? And my precious friend, that's exactly what the Lord has done for us. He has given us unconditional love. Remember when we were pointing out the fact that Boaz refused to look at Ruth's past? He just looked at her future. Aren't you so thankful that that's the way the Lord Jesus is today? Aren't you thankful that sometimes we even give up on people because of their past? My precious friend, never give up on people. It might be a son or a daughter. It might be a close relative, or it might be a distant relative. Never give up on people, because God doesn't give up on people. Because God has unconditional love for them and wants them to come to Christ. And as soon as the marriage took place, then God gave them a child. Now I want you to notice the changes that occurred when Ruth trusted Boaz, just like the changes that occur when you trust in the Lord Jesus. She went from loneliness to love. She went from toil to rest. And she went from poverty to wealth. Now, did you hear that? She went from loneliness to being loved. And my precious friend, no one will ever love you more than the Lord Jesus Christ. Because no one understands what you're going through. No one understands your heartache and your pain and your emptiness. But when you come to Christ, you will go from loneliness to love. Then you will become lovely in the sight of the Lord. She went from toil to rest. Yes, she was working hard all day long when she came back, but as soon as she became Boaz's wife, oh, no longer would she be working out in the field. Now she would be in charge of the home. She went from toil to rest. My precious friend, that's exactly what the Lord wants in your life. And then she went from poverty to wealth. Boaz was a wealthy man. For him to be able to just up and buy back all of the property that had previously belonged to Ruth's earlier father-in-law, Elimelech. Yeah, he had that kind of money. She went from poverty to wealth. That's exactly what the Lord wants to do in your life. To go from the poverty and the emptiness of living for yourself to the wealth of what God has and what God will provide for you. That's why the Bible says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus." You will go from poverty to wealth because you will become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And then she also went from worry to assurance. How were they going to meet their needs? How are they even going to live? And then when she did find a field, you know, was she going to be able to earn enough for her and her mother-in-law, Naomi? But finally, she found the assurance in the words of Boaz. And my precious friend, the same thing is true for you. As you study the Word of God and you begin to understand the precious promises of God, when you come to the Lord in faith and trusting Him as your personal Savior, you will leave the position of worry and you'll come to the position of assurance. And see, that's what faith is. Faith is knowing God's Word, believing God's Word, trusting in God's Word, and resting in God's Word. And then she went from a place of despair to a place of hope. Maybe you're living in a place of despair. My precious friend, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Because all of these will be true after we trust Jesus as our Savior, just like all these things were true after she trusted in Boaz. And then the baby. Oh, what a blessing that baby was to Boaz and to Ruth and to Naomi and also to the world. Because it was through Obed that the Lord Jesus Christ was given. The word Obed means the serving one. The serving one. You know, my precious friend, when you and I come to Christ, He wants us to be serving Him. Obed became the father of Jesse, who became the father of David. You know what we find David doing when Samuel went out to look for the next king to anoint? Serving. He had learned from his grandfather how to be the serving one. And the same thing should be true of you and me, my friend. Are we serving the Lord? You see, that's how Ruth began this entire story, serving Him. And just as David learned to serve from his grandfather, you and I need to learn to serve, because in doing so, we will be able to carry out God's wonderful love story in the days to come. Isn't the story of love exciting? Isn't it romantic to read a good love story? And you know, my friend, that's what the Bible is. It's God's love story to you and me. Don't ever put it down. Don't ever let it become dull. Read it as if you've never read it before. Read it with an open heart, an open mind, and a ready and willing will. And I trust, my friend, that in doing so, you will discover in thy presence is fullness of joy, and Lord, at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. God bless you.